Morning. You guys turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 8. I'm going to speed through this here. So Mr. Simpson made a lot of points in the public reading, just by the way. And usually he does not add to or take away from words of the Scripture. But I did hear him throw an extra one in there. Dummy. I think it's what we were all thinking. And it's just... Samson had a weakness, man, and he did not overcome that with his brains. Let's put it that way. One good thing about it is that in his death, he took out more than he did in his life. And that's what I want to be, in that sense, spiritually stronger and take out more. The last years of my life, or the last year of my life, and everything leading up to that. One other thing in conjunction, man, wasn't Larry's and Josh's stuff great this morning? Man, good bearing fruit with perseverance. And, you know, what Josh was talking about is really convicting. And what the Scripture says, it does come out. Where our heart is, that comes out. You know, it wasn't the God of the Philistines that had given Samson into their hands. It was Yahweh who had given him into their hands because of what Samson had done. So we got to be serious, keep our mind set on the things above, and really watch over our heart. I appreciated that, Josh. That was excellent. Romans chapter 8. I'm just going to read verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Let's pray. Lord, You are the great I Am. I love Your name. I love it when it's read, Yahweh, the One who is. Father, You have been, You are, and You will be. You are the great eternal God. And Father, as such, You are sovereign. You are over all. And Your will is being executed on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I ask that You be with me today as I preach Your word, that I would communicate it clearly. And Father, all of us would realize that there is a tremendous spiritual war that is raging around us, that there is no neutrality in this. And the Father, You are sovereign, and that You are executing Your plan, and that all of us are going to be vessels whom You will use. We'll either be vessels of dishonor or vessels of honor. Lord, in Your great wisdom, You are able to cause everything to work together for good to those who love You and to those who are called according to Your purpose. May we understand that, have confidence in that, this day and moving forward. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, there are definitely two major forces in this world. It's great to understand and acknowledge who God is, and we're going to work our way through that. But we got to be honest. When we're looking at this, there is another force in this world. There is a supernatural evil. There is a dragon that the Scripture speaks of. There is a lion that prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. My dad became a Christian about a year before I was born. Prior to that, he was an atheist, and got a chance to, growing up, to hear some of the things that he thought through. But one of the things that really registered with him, he was exposed to some of the political things that were going on, and he saw some of the powers behind the throne, if you will. Some of the hidden powers and some of the evil that men were concocting to basically enslave the majority of people in this world. And my dad said, you know what? when he acknowledged that there was evil, said it hit him right then, there has to be a source of that evil. And at the same time, okay, there's good and there has to be a source of that good. And that got him on to searching out truth. But you know, the reality, God, anybody that wakes up just slightly to any sense of reality, you don't have to be very wide awake, just a little awake, you have, something is seriously wrong. There is, you realize you are stuck in the middle of a major spiritual war. I realize people across this world are trying to, and some of the stuff Josh was talking about, really what that is, that's designed to numb us to what is really going on. Instead of keeping our, I know New American Standard, our gaze fixed directly in front of us, just to distract and forget about what's important. Hey, what matters? The football game or the spiritual war? But if you can always be focused on the football game, and you don't, then you don't have to be awake about the real battle that's going on around us. Anybody that starts to wake up says, there is a spiritual war. It's going on around us, and it's going on inside. Going on in my heart and in my mind. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. Because this great battle that's playing out on earth, it began in heaven. That's what we got to understand. You wonder, you start asking, you see this, you say, why? Why? What's going on? Well, the second half of the book of Revelation really starts to let us know why this battle on earth is taking place. Because there was war in heaven. Revelation 12, I just want to read verses 1 through 6. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain, to give birth. Another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she might be nourished for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough. There was no longer a place found for them in heaven. No way do I have time to preach on this the way I would like to this morning, but realize, first of all, the book of Revelation is a symbolic book. It lets you know that in chapter 1. This woman is not the Virgin Mary, okay, like the Catholics would try to tell you. This woman is Israel on into the church, because you follow this through. After the child is born and caught up to the throne, the dragon's still going to continue to wage war against the woman. And that woman, the offspring of that woman, Christians. Okay, so Israel and the church. But what I really want to key in on here is for us to recognize that Satan is constantly engaged in waging war against the church of Jesus Christ. He could not take out Jesus. He tried, he had his chance, if you will, but he could not do it. He continues to wage war against us. You might ask, what does this have to do with Romans chapter 8? We know that God causes all things to work together for good. Simply put, guys, God is sovereign. Let me see if I can quickly give you a brief outline from the Old Testament. I need to go to Genesis chapter 3. I'm not going to hit a lot of scripture this morning, because I'll just try to hit the high points. But we got to see where this starts. In Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, there's a curse that God's putting on the serpent. And in verse 15, he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." Revelation 12 really has its foundation from back here in Genesis. The dragon, you can go on to say that, the serpent of old. There's a prophecy. The third chapter of the Bible already lays this out, that there is going to be enmity between Satan and Jesus, the seed of woman. You follow through on that Old Testament, and you see this battle continuing to go. You look at, well, how did things go after Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden? Satan was there and active and working, wasn't he? And then God, this is kind of cool because Mr. Simpson's been preaching through some of these Old Testament things recently for us and laying this foundation back in. But you look at Seth was God's line. Seth's line is doing well, but guess what happened to them? Kind of like Samson. Sons of God saw the daughters of men were beautiful. Came in and started to wage war. They set that down the wrong course. One family, though. One family stood firm, right? Family of Noah. From there, we see Abraham and Sarah. God intercedes as the devil's always trying to work a counterattack. And God reaches out and He saves Isaac, just as He said that through Isaac, Abraham's descendants will be called. You think about Joseph and what he endured, and all this time it looks like it's going wrong. I mean, there's no greater example to me than Joseph in the Scriptures of how clearly things look like they're going bad to worse. And yet, through all of that, God had a big plan that He was doing to save Joseph's family and to save the nation of Israel. We talked about David. Josh did. And David running for his life from King Saul. You think that was all motivated by Saul? What's the Scripture say? Evil spirit came to torment him. He chased and David. You think the devil realize David's going to be important in God's plan? Yet God protects him, and through David, we know that the Messiah comes from him. Queen Athaliah, there's another one, a worshiper of Baal, right? And she tries to destroy all the seed of David, but there's one. There's one, Jehosheba, a godly woman, and Jehoiada, the high priest. They hide Joash and maintain David's line again. It just continues. For the sake of time, I'm not going to keep rolling, but I want you to notice this war has been going on. There is a devil. He's real. But God is sovereign. He always a step ahead. God, even through things that look really bad, God's working His plan. The greatest example of all would be the culmination of that in the death, the resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ our Lord. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The things that we have gone through, and you think about particularly David Dobson today, because he's going to have great attitude, but it is not going to be easy. I mean, we got to realize that we're going to have to encourage and help, because there's going to be a lot to process, a lot of questions, a lot of wondering, a lot of quiet moments. He's going to have to think through a lot of stuff. It's easy on the surface to say, yeah, but we're not him, and we're asking some of these questions. Why? He's going to be asking those questions. And there's no easy answer to the problem of pain. There's no easy answer to why bad things happen to good people. But there is, it's not an easy answer, but there is an answer. And part of that answer is found in the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God predestined for the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The enemies of God, particularly the devil, if they would have known the way that this was going to turn out, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know how it was going to end. See, the devil, the very worst that Satan could do, it looked like he had God pinned up against the wall. Really, he was just bruising him on the heel, wasn't he? Getting ready to be crushed in the head without even knowing it. The very worst that Satan could do, God used for the greatest good. Jesus crushed Satan in the head. God is sovereign. Now, we continue to read on in Revelation. I'm not going to go there, but you continue to read on. You realize, though, the devil lost the war. But the final battle, you know, we're in the completion of this. And Satan now is a wounded dragon. And he knows where he's going, and he wants to take as many with him into that place of misery that he can. And so every one of us that's immersed into Jesus Christ has a target on our back. If you're not immersed into Christ, you're already His. You're already held captive by Him to do His will. Satan isn't alone in this either. His tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven. He got some demonic forces. You don't have to read very far in the Scripture to see those demonic forces at work. There's something in the Scripture called doctrines of demons. Oh, demons are at work. Remember Elisha's attendant when he saw the Aramean army surrounding him. Like, oh man, we're in trouble. First of all, you have to wake up to see that army. You wake up and you see the forces of darkness in this world. You see the prince of the power of the air. And man, it can be overwhelming. It should be overwhelming apart from Jesus Christ, because the devil's record against mankind, we're talking billions that he hasn't lost. He only lost one time. But Elisha prayed that his attendant, his eyes would be opened, that he could see. That those who were with them were more than those who were against. Brethren, my prayer is that we would open our eyes and see that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. That more are those who are with us than those who are against us. God is sovereign. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. It wasn't that long ago that I preached through Romans 8, and this is one of those verses that I do hang my hat on. It's one of my favorite verses in the world, because sometimes my attitude, I got to struggle with it. Sometimes I've asked those questions, why is this stuff happening? Most of the time I can't answer that question. But I know Romans 8:28. God's sovereign and God causes all things to work together for good. You know, leading up to that, Romans 8 is an awesome chapter. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are children of God. There's a home for us in glory. The Spirit intercedes for us in our prayers with groanings too deep for words. Communicating, God has our best interest in all things. The close from this after Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? In the middle of all this, we get Romans 8:28. We know God causes all things to work together for good. Honestly, guys, it's impossible for us to know what circumstances would be best for us. All of us that raise kids, there's a reason that we're in charge of them. There's a problem with our culture because lots of times the kids are the boss at creating all sorts of problems in our society. But there's a reason kids aren't supposed to be the boss. They don't know what's best. You know, simple things. What they want to eat for breakfast. Some reason my kids have picked up a sweet tooth from somewhere. Don't know where they got that from, but hey, they'd like to eat that junk all the time. They like a little bit of soda. It's got to come from their mom. Not one of my... Oh, we're not supposed to be deceptive here. Kids would like to stay up late. Stay up late. Sleep in. Hey, that stuff's not good for them. Because we don't always know what's best for us. But our Heavenly Father does. Even the events in our lives that are filled with adversity are still divinely directed for our good. Think for a second. Look back at your life and think. If nothing bad would have ever happened to you, would you be a Christian today? And maybe even just ask yourself this. What have you learned most from? What times in your life? The good times? Or the difficult times? God's working. Even in the difficult times. When we understand big picture, God is ruling this world in the interests of His church, of His kingdom, then that should give us confidence to be able to have great joy in the midst of trying circumstances. We've been going through James. James working on that from chapter 1. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. That thing Larry Miller was talking about. Endurance has its perfect result. When Larry was talking, I was thinking, yeah, life is like a marathon with high intensity intervals thrown in for fun in the middle of it. You know, in the middle, you're on this long race, and then you got to have these little bursts that you're just seeing stars, man. You wonder, that's the way life is. We got to have endurance. Endurance has its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. What about Romans chapter 5? Just working on myself a little bit this morning in my own self-talk here. What's the scripture? The scripture reminds me, Romans 5, verse 3. Not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. That means you're jumping for joy in the midst of your troubles. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Instead of hanging our head, we need to be excited about where the Lord has taken this. God knows best. He's working. My dad likes to say, when things are going wrong, they're really going right. I don't know whose vehicle started this morning and whose didn't. I figure, don't start freezing cold. Oh, man. Hey, you're set behind 5 minutes. Who knows what that saved you from? God knows. He in control of the big things and the little things. Maybe God just wants you to practice and have a good attitude when you don't feel like it. That's what you need. You think God cares about Mrs. Love and Mrs. Hopper? You know, I know Mrs. Love's goal and Mr. and Mrs. Love's goal was to die together. Didn't happen that way. God cares about Mrs. Love, though. He knows. We just figured She got some work left to do. She's a worker. You don't get to rest from your labors yet, Mrs. Love. That's tough, but God cares and God knows. Think God cares about David Dobson? Think God cares about some of the lost souls that are going to be impacted through these things? Does God have a plan here? Because I can't stand here and tell you I know what His plan is. But I know we've got a plan. And I know He's going to cause it to work together for good to those who love Him and to those who are called according to His purpose. I believe Romans chapter 8, verse 28. You think God is aware of your striving against sin? The target you got on your back? Think God knows your struggles? You think the deliverer, the one who's able to rescue the godly from temptation, knows that? Is He going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able? God knows. He knows what we can handle. And He's willing to give it to us, what we can handle to help us to grow, to get to where we need to go. Think God's aware of struggles in your marriage? Nathan and Devin? Sorry. We'll come back to you guys in a few months. God knows. Those things are there for a reason. What? Would you ever learn anything about the strange spouse? I mean, that whole side of the human race? So I said spouse, he says both ways. If you didn't have struggle, if you didn't have to work through stuff, what do you think God's working on through that? Maybe He's teaching us about Him who made both male and female in His image. You wouldn't get to know God the way that He wants us to know without working through those things. Think God understands your difficulties at work? Unreasonable bosses? People who have absolutely no spiritual interest and really would like you to have none either? Don't want to give you time off or be able to hit assemblies. They don't like it when you're that voice of conscience when they're doing things that are against the law of God. They all kind of look the other way or pat each other on the back, and you're the guy that's got to say, "Whoa, wait." Just by staying there and not agreeing with them, they know that conscience is being... God aware of those things? Think God can make your business successful, or maybe in some cases has made it fail? God causes all things to work together for good. Think God's aware of the schemes of this world that are designed to take away our liberties? Designed to take us down a path towards more and more socialism? What's that really about? I mean, forget about whether or not we want Obamacare. It's about who do we look to as God. Government doesn't want competition. They force you to take their handouts instead of relying on the Lord for your daily bread. I mean, this is the pattern. You think God's aware of that? You think God can use all of these things to help you and me get to heaven? I think that's what He's working, God. Perfecting us. So that when we get there, our spirit will be ready for that body of glory. What sort of training? Are you willing to... Larry, you got the option to quit, don't you? That parable, the scorching sun comes out. Well, yeah, persecution, afflictions, I think. Temptations, right? They come up, I'm out of here. You can respond to it that way, or you can realize, you know what? This is here to help me grow. Without the sun, you aren't going to grow. You got to endure some of that scorching heat sometimes to make it. When the heat's there, sometimes it's going to be scorching. God knows what He's doing. He's able to further His kingdom. Our loving Father cares enough about us to administer tough love when we need it. I gotta close up here. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about the discipline from the Lord. Those whom the Father loves, He disciplines, doesn't He? He scourges every son whom He receives. far and away a parent's responsibility in raising their children, the majority of that training to up a child in the way he should go, it's not limited to punishment. Punishment's a little part of it. There's a lot of training, a lot of correction. Punishment's a little part of it. But punishment is a part of it, even, isn't it? I don't like the rules, guys, of our society that we live under. Government starts spying in my house, they're going to turn me in for child. My kids are getting old enough, they probably won't get turned in for child abuse anymore. And I am not an abusive parent. I want you to understand that. It's what they've categorized as child abuse. But I believe in spanking your children when they need spanked. So, why would I be surprised when God spanks me when I need it? I believe in giving my children responsibilities to carry out. I believe in I believe in putting them on a training program for them to grow. Why would I be surprised if God gives that to me? Those whom the Father loves, He disciplines, doesn't He? He's leading us on a path here. So, what should our attitude be? Joyful? We know God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. I just want to throw in one other thing. This is limit. This is a conditional statement. This is true to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. God's purpose is going to be carried out. But you get into Romans chapter 9, you find there are vessels of dishonor and vessels of honor. God is going to use you to carry out His plan. The question is it going to be for your good or not? That depends on whether or not you love God and are called according to His purpose. It was hit this morning. But you know, the focus here, guys, is on God, not on us. All these things get us to look to God and say, okay, what's your plan? What's your will? Like Clint was saying in Sunday school class, it's not about, hey, Jesus, I want you to come. You ever wonder about that whole idea of accepting Jesus into your heart that I haven't found anywhere in the Scripture, by the way? But that whole concept, I'm going to accept Jesus into my heart. Wait a second. Who's accepting who? You see where that problem is? And it, right there, it's, okay, I'm going to invite Jesus into my life. That, whoa. Whose life? The scriptural record is more like, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's why the scripture doesn't say, accept Jesus into your heart. God causes all things to work together for good. To those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. This is amazing, brother. When we line up our purpose and we keep aligning our purpose to fit with God, He makes everything work out for good for us. Individually and for the kingdom. Our God's sovereign. You can take that to the eternal bank. His will be done, and it's best not only for Him, but for you and for me if we love Him and we're called according to His purpose. Let's stand.